This call is being recorded.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Prayer Victory. Has anyone else joined the line this morning?
Good morning. It's Susie.
Good morning, Susie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry, who was that? The female voice?
This is Ms. Jerry Wyatt.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Right.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sister Julia.
Good morning, Sister Julia.
Happy
this is
Friday,
Brother Chris.
Sister Patrice.
Good morning, Patrice.
Good
Happy
morning.
Friday.
Good morning, Ivanka.
Good morning, Yvonne.
I love fire.
Happy Friday to you too, Princess.
Good morning, this is Pastor Young.
Good morning, Pastor Young.
Good morning.
Good morning, this is Brother Chris.
Good morning, Brother Chris.
Good morning, this is Mona.
Happy Friday, family. It's Nikisha.
Hey,
good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Andrew.
Good morning, Andrew. I'm getting a lot of feedback. Let me try a different line. Give me 1 second.
Happy Friday, Sister Veronica.
Good morning,
Sister Veronica. Can you hear me clearly?
You're a little muffled.
How about now?
There's an echo.
Yeah, much better.
Okay, I see what the problem is. It's my speakerphone acting up. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the line?
Good morning. This is Pam. Happy Friday, Victory family. I love y'all.
Good morning,
Happy Friday. It's Barbara.
Good morning, Barbara. Happy Friday.
Good morning, family. Happy Friday. It's Bubbly.
Good morning, Bubbly.
Good morning, it's Diane.
Good morning, Diane. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Once more, good morning. Welcome to Declared Victory. Has anyone else joined the line?
Let's try this once more. Before we move forward, we ask that you mute your phone line so that we can proceed.
Yes.
This ensures the continuity of the call. Where is it? Lost my app. Good morning. My name is James, and I am your host for this morning. Thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Sunday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific time, to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed too. Today's is Men's Day, when only men are scheduled in the lineup to bless you. We are in the season of harvest. The theme for November is grow. Are you growing in Christ? Be sure to tune in daily to hear what the Lord would have us to understand about the importance of growing. You don't want to miss the teaching, stories, and lessons that the declarer are preparing for the hear from God for his people. We have two announcements today on the app. The first is Brother Cornell praying for the Lord to keep him on a high frequency with his spirit. The second request is coming from Bubbly, which she has two. Her ex-husband Willie is having replacement knee surgery on this Friday, and we pray it's successful and he has a speedy recover. Her second prayer request is, please give God with me to Bessie Rhoda, has a successful phone interview today. Agree with me that the position is hers, and she thanks the Declare Victory family.
James, did we lose you?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it?
One moment, family.
Good morning. I'm having some technical difficulty with my phone. It won't let me scroll through my app.
It's okay. If you can't see it, I have it right here.
I have it also, Dion, if you want me to read it.
Yes, please.
Okay, I got it. One moment. The order of the call is, the declaration will be by Pastor O'Neill Young. Praying and corporate praise will be done by E.K. Dawson. Then we will go right into closing prayer. Closing comments hosted by the declarer, O'Neill Young. I'll read that again. The declaration will be brought to us by Pastor O'Neill Young. Praying and corporate praise will be done by E.K. Dawson. Then we will go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer. At this time, we ask you to put your phones on mute until instructed to come off. I now pass the call to the declarer for today.
All right. God bless you all this morning. It's a blessed and super Friday. Glad to be alive and with you in the call to in the victory room. I think that's it. The victory room. Let me first just bless God for the opportunity, and then also let me express again my appreciation to my sister and midwife, Minister Dion. God bless you, sis. Appreciate you. Love you much. And thank you for the opportunity. I do want also just let me commend you for allowing and including, you know, the brothers to be in, you know, in the room and in the word as well. You know, really, it's really about, you know, brothers and sisters coming together in Christ for the cause of Christ to promote the kingdom of God. And so, again, thank you for this opportunity. Okay, people of God, you know, I'm going to try to do what pastors always say, you know, they try to do. I'm not going to hold you long. That is not my objective. My prayer today is that, you know, the word of God would bless you. I'm thrilled to be in here with you on the day. So I appreciate the theme for the month, which is growth, or growth in Christ, or grow in Christ. And so we're going to look at that and just kind of get a base for what we're going to talk about. Let me really just kind of define what growth is to Christians. Let me give you a quick overview, and then we're going to get this working definition of growth according to the word, get into it, you know, say a few things, and then let you go. This lesson really, it's based on the first three chapters, you know, of Paul's letters to the Corinthians and 1 Corinthians, and they had some things going on. That's why Paul had to write. It's a church where he went back through on his third missionary journey. And the issue that he had to broach and he had to teach on was the issue of division in the church, you know, folk divided behind the preachers of their day. God help us. You know, I want Paul. I'm with Paul. I'm with Apollos. You know, I'm with Peter. And they're divided behind, you know, that. And also folk are thinking, you know, some other issues in that letter was that folk are thinking their gifts, you know, was superior to others' gifts and so on. Things like that. The Corinthian church, listen, it was a hip church. It was like a today church. They were smart. They were intelligent. Listen, y'all, they weren't poor. I know good English. They weren't poor. They weren't poor. They were prosperous. And what they had working for them that I dig is the fact they had all that and they had Jesus. God, somebody can shout right there. So just because you're saved doesn't mean you got to live a complete life of suffering. Yes, there is suffering, but our lifestyle really is attached to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is nothing but pure, unadulterated victory. And so they had that, but they had some issues. You know, they had issues because they were immature. They were immature Christians with gifts. So let's just talk about that and let's try to really get underway. But that's kind of the basis of that's what we'll be building off of today. So let me give you a working definition for growth. According to the word, you probably have a definition. This is just more. So growth in Christianity or growth in Christian context really means to be mature in your Christian conduct because you walk after and operate in the spirit more than you do in your flesh on a daily basis. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm going to give you my version or the definition, a working definition for growth according to scriptural context that we're going to talk about. It means to be mature in your Christian conduct because you walk after and operate in the spirit more than you do in the flesh on a daily basis, every day. So the manifestation or the fruit of a mature believer, according to scriptural guidelines, are as follows. In other words, Christians who are matured in Christ and they conduct themselves in the following way, this is kind of a list of how to spot a mature Christian. This is what I'm trying to get to you right now. So I'm going to give you the fruits of a mature Christian, what they look like, how they carry themselves. I only have like three little things to give you, but I think we'll be on good grounds and you can expand your list because I know I got theologians on the line. So number one, when it comes to the body of Christ, talking about mature Christians, when it comes to the body of Christ, being at work in church, working with your brothers and sisters, mature Christians do everything to promote unity and harmony in the church. That's the first description of a mature Christian. They do everything to promote unity and harmony of God in the church. They will not, listen, y'all, they won't allow anything, especially different viewpoints, to divide or bring division in the body of Christ. In other words, listen, they know how to deal with people and groups of people because, you know, they can have and accept different viewpoints because groups of people never completely agree, as we know. Working with us in the church, you got a group of folk, everybody's not going to agree. But the mature Christian, you can spot them because they will work harmoniously because they believe on what truly matters. And what truly matters is not really somebody's opinion or viewpoint, but what truly matters is Jesus Christ being glorified and not chopped up. That's in the scripture. Okay, so in Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 10 supports that. It says, this is Paul on unity. He said, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Mature Christians do everything to promote the unity and harmony in the church. Number two, how can I spot a true, or how can I spot a mature Christian? Mature Christians are always using their spiritual gifts that God has given them to live the holy Christian life. I don't know if you're going to shout with me on that, but I'm going to say it again. Mature Christians are always, listen, the key is always using the spiritual gifts that God has given to them to live the holy Christian life, to witness Christ verbally, in deed, you know, in word and in deed, and to stand against a sinful culture and an immoral culture. Are you all hearing me today? In other words, y'all listen, the mature Christian, their lifestyle is 100 Jesus every day with no days off, I might add. I'll say it one more time. Their lifestyle is 100% Jesus every day without a day off. Y'all know what I mean, because people come to me all the time when I'm talking about living holy. People seem to think that there's a day off in the week that they can take. You know, Pastor, you know, I need just one day off. You know, let me take the fifth Sunday. You know, I need another day to kind of get my swerve. I need to get full. It's been a long week. I need to sit down with my wine. Y'all help me today, God. You know, I need to hit, you know, a different club-like atmosphere. I just want to go and relax. But listen, 1 Corinthians 1:7 says, therefore, you do not lack, listen, any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus to be revealed. In other words, people of God, for the mature Christian, they know that God has given them everything they need to live every day at 100. They stand every day. They pray every day. They live for God every day. No day is a day off from God. They don't come off the leash. Help me now. They don't say, you know, today is just, you know, Lord, I need my day. But it's 100. That's a mature Christian. So mature Christians always use their spiritual gifts to live the holy life. And number three, mature Christians are in tune with God's desire. I'm going to say that one more time. Mature Christians are in tune with God's desires. So what does this mean, you all, specifically according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3? I don't have time to read it. I really don't, but it starts off saying something like, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. So in other words, listen, mature Christians are in tune with God's desire. Number one, mature Christians don't act like big babies and quarrel like children over things like who has the greater gift, who's going to sit at the head table with the pastor, who's going to lead praise and worship today, who's going to be the president or the ministry leader of this auxiliary, who's preaching today. You know, they don't quarrel like babies, as Paul is really referring to them. Number two, mature Christians are in tune with God's desire. Under B, mature Christians are not worldly. God help us right here. In the church of 2018, we need a little help. I mean, I'm in there with you. I'm not saying y'all, I'm saying we. The biggest issue or sign that most Christians are immature is that we want to trend with the ways of the culture and try to blend those ways of the world into a holy culture that God has set up for us. Have I got a witness today? Immature Christians are controlled by their own desires, but mature believers are in tune with God's desires. Are you all hearing me? I hope you're hearing me this morning. I'm going to say it one more time. Listen, immature Christians are controlled by their own desires. People who are not mature in Christ, they're controlled by their own flesh, what they want to do, what they feel like doing. But mature believers are in tune with God's desires. So those are just the basic three fruits, if you will, fruits that a mature Christian will bear. So let me get to this and help close this out. So what's the question of the day? I've talked about this. What's the question of the day? So the question of the day is, in simple words, does what you want control your life, or does what God desires for you influence your life? Okay, that's the question of the day. I can say it another way. So how much influence does your personal desires have on your life? How much are you in control? Then God is in control. Does what you want, hear what I said, what you want to do, what you thought it was going to be, how you thought it was going to turn out, help me today, because by this time, I should have been married. I should have had two kids. By this time, you know, the church should have reached this numeric, you know, plateau. Let me see, what else? By this time, I should have already made ministry leader or been ordained. Does what you want control your life, or does what God desires for you influences your life? So in that, consider this. And we're right here. I'm not talking at you. I'm talking with you. I'm not talking apart from you. I'm talking with you. If you're an immature Christian and your life is influenced by your desires, it means Paul is saying to you and saying to me, just like he's saying to the Corinthians church, he's saying immature Christians are worldly Christians who are divided from the Spirit of God. And two, and most importantly, he's saying this, and I want you to get this. Being controlled by your desires will stunt your growth in Christ. If you can't pull nothing else on this part of it, pull this one. Being controlled by you and your desires without the Spirit of God will stunt your growth. People of God, it is Satan's desire that you be in control of your own life, that you think you're the captain of your own soul. Because when he knows that you know that you're in control and God is not in control, you can guarantee that it's going to stunt your growth in Christ this month in this room. The theme is growth in Christ. And so listen, you've heard the question of the day, and you've heard what I just said. So the goal of the day, what's the goal of the day? So listen, if you're right here, if you just want to grow more, if you might be a little bit immature, but you want to begin growing in Christ today, you really desire to live the Christian life that bears unity and wisdom and power and enthusiasm and influence, then get there today with this goal. Let God's desire be your desire. That's the goal of the day. Let God's desire be your desire. Whatever God wants, that's what you got to want. It's about, you've got to self-sacrifice. You can't follow the Lord unless you first deny yourself, as stated in Luke, the 9th chapter. Y'all, I'm almost there, I promise you. So let me be quick about it. What does God desire for me then is the question. So preacher, you're saying, let God's desire be your desire. Well, I want that. So what does God desire for me in this question? So it's a loaded question. We've already heard earlier, you know, in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, when Paul said, hey, you know, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. You know, what God wants, and has planned for us is so enormous that it can only be revealed by the Spirit. But to stay in context and to keep it simple, 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, and I'm going to paraphrase it, and I'm going to read it from the message. Paul says this, we each carried out servant assignments. I planted the seed, Apollos watered the plants, but God made you grow. God helped me to die. I hope you heard that. And he continues on. He says, it's not the one who plants or the one who waters who is the center of this process, but God who makes things grow. Can you shout right there? Listen, Paul preached and planted the seed of the gospel message in the people's heart. Apollos watered by helping those believers grow stronger in the faith. But listen, people of God, make no mistake about it. It was God who kept making those Christians grow. Today, this month in the victory room. The midwife has planted the victory room seed. The preachers, the ministers, the pastors, the exhorters are watering. But hear me when I declare this today. It's God making Christians like us grow and will keep on making us grow even after we hang up. So because God desires you to grow, if you decided today to let God's desire be your desire, today God is going to cause growth in your life. And as I close in this last paragraph, in verse number 6 of chapter 3, the word grow right there is a Greek word, oxano, which really is a phrase. And the phrase reads, who causes to grow. So what it's actually declaring to us is that God is causing us to grow. God is causing increase. God is causing us to become greater. God is causing us to grow in Christ today because he's the master grower. He grows plants. He grows infants. He grows multitudes of people. He grows churches. He grows ministry. He grows families. And he grows inward spiritual growth. And for some of us, that means today that we're growing out of some worldly things like being messy, dividing up friendships, trending with the world. We're growing out of acting like babes in Christ. We're growing out of foul language, bad habits. And today we're growing into what God desires us to be, where God is wanting us to go. We're growing into his spirit. We're growing in his spirit. We're growing in his wisdom. We're growing in his love, growing in his kindness, growing in his habits and practices, growing in prayer, growing in holiness, growing in his power for living, and growing into doing what God wants us to do every day, not just some days. If you want to spot a true mature believer, a true mature believer is doing it God's way every day, 24/7 without a break, because they know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. People of God, I just want to encourage you today, God will cause you to grow because God wants to make you grow. My prayer is that you be blessed today. And that as you hang up this phone and we start our day, you got to declare it and you got to know that today God is causing you to grow into, my God, today, that greater person that he has called you to be. And nothing can stop that. I will turn it over into the hands of the person who's going to pray.
Brother EK, if you're praying, we can't hear you.
Otherwise, can one of our gents jump in and pray?
Our Father, our God, our Creator, we bow before your throne, Father. We come circumspectly before your presence. We want to thank you for your manifold blessings. Father, we want to thank you for your hand upon our lives as you kept us through the night. Father, we want to thank you for the daily bread that you presented before us. Father God, we want to thank you for the breath in our bodies, the activity in our limbs, Father, and the awareness of who we are, where we are, when we are, and why we are. Father God, we thank you for your will towards us, that you, your thoughts towards us are for growing us, Father, for prospering us, for protecting us, Father, for leading us and guiding us to that end that you have ordained for us, Father, because you love us. Father God, we thank you for your chastening hand, Father, that corrects us, that straightens us, Father, as we grow, that prunes us back, Father, and shaves off that which will not profit our souls. Father God, we thank you for giving us opportunity to witness to your mighty works, Father, in your great name. that your name may be proclaimed throughout the land and your will done on earth as it is in heaven. Father God, we thank you for the families that you blessed us with. Father, the opportunities to lead and guide, to nurture and grow, to teach in the fear and admonition of you, Father, that your word may be proclaimed and souls be saved on your behalf, and the kingdom of heaven be strengthened. Father God, we thank you for where you've placed us, Father, the challenges that are before us. Father, the vineyard is full, but the laborers are few, Father. Strengthen us that we may be counted as worthy to work in your vineyard. Father God, there are so many that have requests on their heart, Father. So many are hurting. So many are afraid. But you did not give us a spirit of fear, Father, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So, Father, stretch out your hand upon your children, Father. All those that have surgeries awaiting them, Father, we lift them up before you, Father. Strengthen the medical personnel that service them, Father. Give them the wisdom that they need, Father, to do the job that they must, Father, that the person that asks for the request be a ready and good witness for you, Father, when you lift them up from their bed. Father God, we ask that you walk your presence through the elder care facilities, Father, and the jails, Father, where people are restricted from their movement, Father, and they have lessened freedom, Father, and they may have pains and ills presented before them that they cannot change. Father God, we ask on their behalf, Father, that you move on their behalf and you lift them, Father, and allow them to feel the joy of the Lord, Father, which is their strength. Oh, Father God, we ask that you send your children to their side, Father, to speak comfort, to speak wisdom, to speak power, to speak faith into their lives, Father. So while they endure, Father, you imbibe them with the strength to endure. Father God, we ask that you touch all the yokemen that labor in your name, Father. Help them to bear the burden in the heat of the day. Father, help them to work that vineyard, Father, according to your instruction, Father, that pride not be an issue, Father, that numbers not be an issue, Father, but that the cogent word of God be preached, Father, in season and out of season, that souls may be saved and impacted, Father, and that this world will know that there is a God who sits high and rules in the affairs of men. Oh, Father God, we ask that you protect the children as they go to and fro in school, Father, and over this holiday season, Father, those that are traveling, Father, we ask that your hand of grace and traveling mercy be upon them. Father God, the prayer requests on the app we present before you, Father, please honor them, Father, as only you can in the name of Jesus. We ask that you remember all those unspoken requests. We ask that you remember the requests we are commanded to have to pray for our leaders, Father, those that are in power, Father, that things may go well with us, your children in the land. Father God, we ask that you intervene on our behalf, Father, those evils, individuals in power, spreading themselves like green bay trees, Father, working their will against your children, Father, against your command, Father. We know that, Father, you have final say. And you told us in your word, Father, that we will look for them and lo, they will not be. Father God, we know you're in control. We know that you have the power, Father. The enemy is strong, but you are omnipotent. Father God, we bow before your grace. We bow before your might. We bow before your wisdom, Father. There is none like you. You are most amazing, Father God. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have to praise you. Father God, we ask that you cover those that are affected by the fire on the West Coast, all those that are having breathing problems, Father, those that have been displaced from losing their homes or having their homes threatened, Father God, we know that you are the way beyond any way, and we ask that you remember them, Father. Give them sukkah, Father. Touch hearts on their behalf, Father, that people reach out to them, past enemies, future friends, Father. Extend their resources, Father, that all may be sold, Father, and that they may have a good and ready witness for those who show that you, our Heavenly Father, made a way for them. Father God, we love you. We can't do this race without you, Father. The way is too long. The enemies are numerous and powerful, Father. We can't do it in our own strength. We need your strength, Father. Strengthen us, Father. And as we think about your goodness, Father, and all you've done for us, Father, when we lift our voice in praise, Father, we ask that you inhabit the praise on our lips, Father, that you strengthen the minds that think on you, Father, that you strengthen the spirit within us that seeks you, Father. And when we bow on our knees, Father, and pray and seek your face and repent of all that we have done wrong, Father, all the things that you have asked us to do that we refuse to do, all the things that we did that you told us to refrain from doing, Father, when we bring that to you, Father, you will hear from heaven. You will forgive our sin and heal our land, for the land is indeed in need of healing. And so are we, Father. And so as we begin to take our phones off mute and to lift our hearts and voices in praise,
hallelujah,
we ask that you strengthen us, Father, for the way
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
And Father God, we bless the fact that you go to war before us, Father.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
things to help you identify the fruits of a mature Christian. And number one really was mature Christians do everything to promote the unity and harmony, you know, of God and the church. Second, we based that off of, you know, chapter 1, verse 10. Then the second, our second fruit was mature Christians are always using, you know, their spiritual gifts that God has given them to live the holy and Christian life. That just means that they're 100. That's how you know people are mature, because they do it 100 for Christ every day. And then third, I shared with you that mature Christians are in tune with God's desires, you know, and that simply means you know a mature Christian because they want what God wants, you know, and that's out of Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, just really saying, you know, mature Christians don't act like big babies. They don't fight. They don't quarrel, you know, over things like kids do over in church and so forth. And I didn't give you that fourth one, but let me just give you that. Mature Christians live a life of prayer. Have to throw that one in. So if you want to write that one down as number four, mature Christians live a life of prayer. The only way that you perpetuate and get in on the act of planting, watering, and putting yourself in a position so that God will cause growth is through prayer. There ain't no other way. There's no other way that you can do it unless you stay before God and in His Word. So I gave you the question of the day. You know, how much influence does your personal desires have on your life? That's what I asked. That was the big question today, and I hope you thought about that. Man, you know, am I doing what I want to do, or is what I want to do influencing, you know, me to follow me and not follow God? And the consideration that I want you to think about, you know, is just like Paul was saying to the Corinthians church. And the biggest thing was, you know, immature Christians are worldly and they're divided from God's spirit. You can't have it both ways. I mean, you can't. God help us all. And then most importantly, I ask you to take away this. Being controlled by your desires will stunt your growth in Christ. You know, if you're wondering, maybe you're not growing in Christ like according to the Word, not like you think you should be, but like the Word has even said we should. And we're not bearing the fruits of the mature Christian that are found here in this Word, chapters 1 through 3. And maybe, you know, you're not. And so if you're not, it's okay. And you want to change, it's okay. Because, you know, I shared with you that the goal of the day, or your goal every day from this day forward, should be let God's desires be your desires. Okay? Let God's desires be your desires. And I just simply, you know, kind of ask the question that you would ask. Then what does God desire for me? You know, God desires many things. I can't even get into it. We talked about in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, I think it's verse 9, and what eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. We shout off of it all the time. So that's what I was referring to. But God, you know, what does God desire? What does He want for me? And so as we look, it's that God, you know, is really... He's the one that makes us grow. So what does God want? God desires for you to grow. It's simple. Don't even complicate the matter. What He desires, He wants you and I to grow. You know, we looked at 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9, and we found out through a little bit of investigation where it says, you know, and God gives the increase, or it really says, you know, God causes the growth. You know, God causes the growth. And we just simply closed out, you know, and shouted, number one, woo, I can change this up. God can help me because I'm going to give up my desires and I'm going to take on His. And then, you know, woo, God really desires for me to grow. And then, woo, let's shout on the last one. God causes the growth. Yes, He wants it. He causes it. With His Word, everything that God says will come to pass. You've seen it already. Let there be. And it came to pass. And we just celebrated that in chapter 6. you know, which is actually a phrase, you know, who causes to growth. That's really what it means. And so we just declared, hey, that simply means God is causing your increase today. You know, God is causing you to become wiser. God is causing you to see into his will. God is causing you to grow. You know, God is then also, for some of us, that means that we're growing out of some worldly things and into God's spiritual realm and into what God wants. So the shout is, hey, listen, I'm growing out and I'm growing in. And that's what you ought to probably take. You know, I hope that's what you take with you today. You know, that, you know, he's growing us into, you know, that person that he's called us to be. You know, growing in spirit, growing in his wisdom, growing in his image, looking more like Christ every day. So that's just a basic recap of what we shared today. And, you know, if you're kind of in that place, because we've all been there, you know, we've all been there. We go through these, you know, we go through growth spurts. God causes growth, and then sometimes things happen. We find ourselves stunted. But I want to encourage you and just tell you this, just according to, you know, to Romans 8 and 28, God sees more good in you than you ever could. And God will bring the good out of you because he's able to, and he has plans to do just that. So having said that, if there are any comments, if there are any questions, if there's any reflections that you would like to share, we'll give you that opportunity now.
Great morning, Pastor Young. Thank you so much for this morning's share. I think that more than anything, perspective is everything. And how you lined it up with the word, it was not only beneficial for kingdom living, kingdom growing, and kingdom stretching, but I think it always helps to know without a shadow of a doubt. I asked a question on Wednesday, have you gauged the last time you grew, especially as a believer and in kingdom living? And so I appreciate you and your follow-up just with scripture and context. So I enjoyed you this morning, as always.
Well, God bless you, sis. We sure appreciate you. And that is a question. You need to gauge it. You know, we need to really keep consciousness to that. Because, you know, sometimes we can get so busy doing things in the church that we really fall out of spiritual gear. We shift into what I think and how it should be and protocol. And that's not always what God is saying. So God bless you for your comments and feedback this morning.
Good morning, brother. This is Andrew. I wanted to thank you for your powerful lesson this morning. One of the things that was sticking in my head was Jesus' prayer when he was distressed and grieving in the garden, and he was asking his father that if there was any way possible, even though that was the reason for him being there, if there was any way that he didn't have to go through the route that was waiting for him, he wanted to take that. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And I can only speak for myself. A lot of times, especially in the past, but even now, I tend to pray focusing more on, you know, he'll give me the desires of my heart if I love him and serve him more so than nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, because he's got a specific vision for me to put me in certain situations based on what he put inside me and what he's trying to grow in me. And his word says that, you know, whatever job he starts, he's going to finish. So so that which he put inside me will grow, but that might not be where I'm comfortable. That might not be where I desire to be. Maybe I don't want to stay there as long as he needs me there, and maybe, you know, there's more suffering on my plate than I'm really comfortable with. You know, I'll suffer a little bit, but I don't want to suffer that much. But it all basically goes back to whatever he wants from me, because I'm his, he's sovereign, he can do what he wants with me. But when I'm on board with that, there's that extra blessing, and he'll bless the work of my hands, and not just me, he'll bless my children, he'll bless my family, he'll bless my friends, he'll intercede on those prayers that I pray for others, just because I'm serving him in the capacity that he envisioned for me. And so I appreciate that reminder that you hit me with, you know, especially for my journey. So thank you.
Amen. Bless you, Brother Andrew. Appreciate your comments, feedbacks, and support. And, you know, I'll say this, just sitting here, you know, thinking more about it, growth is never comfortable. It's, you know, growth is never comfortable because it's a stretch. It's a literal stretch. You know, it's a literal stretch of faith. It's a literal stretch of out of the comfort and into the uncomfortable, you know, out of the known and into the unknown, out of the boat and into the water, you know, where we have to walk, you know, to get to Jesus. And so thank you for that and for the great reminder, you know, of the yielding in growth, which says, not my will, you know, but thy will be done. So God bless you this morning.
Good morning, Pastor. This is Geraldine. I just wanted to say thank you for your outstanding word on today. It just prompted me to when I was a little girl. I used to tell my mom, I said, Mom, you know, my back is hurting. They used to tell us, you don't have a back. So, and or I would say, my legs is hurting. They said, your legs couldn't be hurting. They're growing pains. So this month has really, really stretched me to, I feel like Stretch Armstrong, you know, where, you know, we used to get that little man and just pull him. And that's what God is basically doing for the believers this month, is just stretching us to our fullest potentials. You know, as some people may feel that you know how your muscles get when you overwork them where they haven't been worked. I'm thinking about, you know, as we grow in ministry, like you said, sometimes we can get stale and or we can overwork ourselves, you know, to the point where we do feel like we're not of any use. But I really thank God, because I do know where my place is in God. And I thank God that here I'm finding that I'm being watered and nurtured. And I can go back out into the vineyard. This one thing I found out about the vineyard, the work there, you know, I also as a young child, I worked and I had to get on the back of a flatbed truck, go up and work in the vineyards, the actual vineyards, and pick cherries and plums and we would have to cut grapes. And at the end of the day, we would have buckets. And, you know, they might say, oh, you have 5 cents. By the end of the day, we would come home with maybe a dollar or two for our day's work. But in Christ, we can work all day. And at the end of our journey, the word that I would like to hear is, servant, thy good and faithful servant, well done. And I thank you again for just laying it out. Just laying it out. This is a filet mignon this morning. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you, Sister Geraldine. I just appreciate you, and to God be the glory, you know, for all he has done today in just giving us his word. Thank you for, you know, your insight. You took me way back talking about Stretch Armstrong. So, wow. But that's a great picture of it. And I will say that while you're speaking, thought about growth. Growth also means, you know, seeing where we are undone and where we're short. but submitting that to God, you know, just like Isaiah, and letting God, you know, heal and fix that so that we can do work that is growth. So thank you on this morning, and keep on keeping on. We appreciate your comments and be blessed today.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
It's Sister Dee Dee, and I'm grateful to hear you. I love your sound, and I love the way, like with Dion and Sister Geraldine, the way you unpacked it. Just the growth process, period. I know I just turned 51 last Saturday, and I am maturing differently. So the spiritual maturation is growing me up to just some things that you said about, you know, the how did you say it? You talked about who's preaching or who's leading. All of that stuff makes you immature if that's what you're focusing on and not really what we're supposed to be doing. So I just think this series, this whole series is so necessary for our growth, so we're not, you know, stunning our own growth. A lot of us being just caught up in the wrong thing. And so I just thank you for your share this morning. It was very, very, very powerful. And your sound is so, oh my God, I sit up when you were speaking. Just everything you said and how you shared it, it just makes it just a delight. So thank you for your share this morning.
Bless you, Sister Dee Dee. Again, you know, to God be the glory. And sure appreciate you today. And hey, wear that 51. You know, that's Generation X. I'm right there with you. And there's one thing about Generation X, you know, for us, because we're the minority when it comes to the different generations between the baby boomers and our millennials and so forth. And so, you know what? You're absolutely right, because at this stage, God is requiring new growth, because there is a new place for us. There is a new position for us, you know, and God is causing new growth and gathering us, you know, so that, because, you know, the reason God wants us to grow is so that we can glorify him even more, give him more glory, you know, live for him even more every day. And so thank you for your encouragement. And you know what? I'll be honest with you, and I mean this, and it's not just a say back to you, but you say you sit up when I speak. Well, when I come in the victory room, I'm up. I mean, the victory room, and when there are people on the other end of this line who are, number one, they came to pray. You know, and then number two, they came for some word. Number three, God is letting me serve a little bit this morning. I'm up with you, because I'm up before God. And my prayer is always to please him, because if I please God, then I'm, you know, I'm confident and just believe that the people of God will be blessed and get everything that you need, you know, for your life and on this day. So God bless you on today.
Good morning, Pastor. This is Sister Kim calling from Fairfield, California, and thank you once again for the word on today. I am one of your members, so I am a little partial to you, but I do appreciate the way that you delivered the word on this morning, and I have to say that I have grown spiritually leaps and bounds under your leadership, and still continue to grow. Because each time you stand before us or you give a word, I am in awe at the way you tell God's word in such a way that is easy for me to understand how you explain it. And it's easy for me to relate it to my own personal life and situations that I'm going through. So God is causing me to grow during this time. But I tell you, from your word this morning and from your words that you've spoken before, it's making those growing pains a little easier. So I just thank you again for your word. You are always dropping spiritual platinum nuggets of truth on us, and I do appreciate it. Thank you, Sister Dion, for giving my pastor another opportunity to speak before the Victory Room. And I have to let everyone know that you are a pastor of prayer, that you take everything to God in prayer. Everything that you do and say is directly from God. You are a pastor after God's own heart, and I thank God that he has put me under your leadership. Amen.
All right. God bless you, Sister Kim. y'all can't tell that she's a member of Greater Purpose Church, can you? But, you know, in all seriousness, God be praised for you. It's always my, I tell members at the church, it's always, I'm always humbled to serve you and then them in this capacity. So to God be the glory. My prayer is that, you know, God keeps on speaking to you, and that God allows you to grow even more into that greater person and become that greater you that we're always talking about. Thank you.
Good morning, Pastor. This is Sister Wyatt. I have to agree with Sister Kim, but I want to say that I am just so happy to be on this call this morning and to hear your words on growth. It was so powerful. And I just want to say that I want to thank you for reiterating to me that true growth is really knowing, accepting, and doing the will of God. And you said every day. And so I appreciate that. And I want to say, too, I know now that whatever phase you are in your life and whatever season you are in your life, you can still grow if you listen and ask God to show you his will and you do what he tells you to do. So thank you again for that powerful word this morning. God bless you.
All right. Bless you, Mother. I don't know why she's going to find the phone. I guess just for people to identify, Sister Wyatt, that is my mother. And so thanks, Mom. Look, thanks, Mom. I appreciate that. And it's a real humbling task to serve as, you know, a son and a pastor. But thank you for letting me serve as your pastor today. And thank you for your encouragement. All right. God bless you all. Is there anyone else?
Good morning, Pastor.
Bless you.
I enjoyed your declaration this morning. You you hit on a few things. You know, I was just thinking about how that our physical body, this earthen vessel, this fleshly vessel that the Holy Spirit lives in, it's going to die. You know, I'm closer to 60 than I am 50, and God said, Jeff, you know, you 5'8", you ain't gonna get no taller. You know, and I'm aging now, and you know, it's like I'm not gonna grow anymore physically. But your spirit and your soul is gonna live forever, eternally. And I was like, wow. So and you talked about the mature Christian and the Christian that's not so mature that he's worldly. And I like, okay. So it's like if I want to stay on the mature section. You know, and I don't want to be caught up in the world, you know, but I'm in this vessel, this flesh, this carnal nature, and I'm wrestling constantly. It don't want me to grow up. It don't want me to mature spiritually.
Look out, Doc.
Oh, my. So God was just speaking to me, you know, and when you talked about, you know, the mature Christian, you know what I'm saying, always got the peace and the harmony for the church up front. You know, he's always doing work in the church and the keeping the peace and the harmony. So I say to myself, okay, well, how can I stay on that certain level of maturity in Christ as a Christian and not get caught up in the carnality and the world man, you had me thinking about a whole lot of stuff.
So I just want
to let you know that I got a lot out your declaration this morning. But one thing the Lord told me, said, Jeff, you want to stay a mature Christian and continue to grow in Christ, stay in your word.
Mm-hmm.
I must stay in my word. But I just wanted if you could just touch on the fact that our physical bodies grow to a certain point and it don't grow no more, you know.
Absolutely.
But our spirit, we can grow spiritually. Could you expound on that a bit?
Sure. Bless you. First of all, this morning, I just appreciate, man, your feedback, your input, your enthusiasm. You know, we can sense that over the phone. And thank you for, you know, helping to continue and add to the message this morning, which we all can do, which is one of the ways, you know, that we maintain, you know, the spirit is through the word, is through prayer. But as you were talking about that struggle, you know, with the flesh, you know, it always, you know, takes us back to the sin nature, you know, struggling with sin out of Romans chapter 7. You know, Paul always, you know, was just famous in this one. He said, you know, the good, you know, that I want to do, you know, I don't find myself doing, but the thing I don't want to do is what I find myself doing. And he really was like, you know, he's like, I see he says in verse 23, say, I see, you know, another law at work, you know, in the members of my body waging war against against my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members, meaning at work within my body, you know. And then he says, man, he said, I'm a wretched man, and who's going to help me? And he says, and who's going to rescue me from the body of death? And then, of course, he continues on in verse 29. He says, thanks be to God through, you know, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, he said, then he picks it up in Romans chapter 8. And this is how we remain free and how we maintain the spiritual walk on this promise. The work that Jesus did, verse number chapter 8, Romans 8, verse number 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the spirit of life, you know, set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, that is weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, you know, for me. So now, you know what? He says, I don't have to live according to my sinful nature. I don't have to live according to my flesh, but I can live according to the Spirit of God, because God just said it in Romans chapter 8. That's verses 1 through 4. And so, you know, prayerfully, that can help you. And we're dealing, you know, just being in this body, man. You know, I get it. We all get it. What's really separating us is this flesh. But we're not trapped. But we are not subject to the chains and bonds of this flesh, even though we live in it, because of the Spirit of God who makes us alive. There's no condemnation. And we walk now, not after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit. So prayerfully, you know, that can speak to you just a little bit in regard to this struggle that we have, but knowing that we have the victory, you know. And, hey, we got the victory because the word says so, and we got the victory because we're in the victory room. So God bless you, my brother, on this morning. And again, I appreciate your thoughts and inputs and questions. Is there anyone else this morning?
Good morning, Pastor O'Neill. This is Sabrina. I just wanted to chime in really quickly and say that I enjoyed your share this morning. I chuckled a little bit as I thought about your focus on the maturing part of growth. And I thought about my own self. Like, I don't mind growing. I don't mind stretching. I just don't want it to hurt. And I know. So, and yeah, I know I tickled myself. But, and then I thought about even as a child, how I wanted to be an adult. I wanted to grow, but I didn't want to pay bills. I didn't want the responsibility that came with the growth. So I just thank you. You've given me food for thought this morning, and how the focus of growth is also the maturing part of it. And you can't have one without the other. So God bless you and thank you.
God bless you. Minister Sabrina, good to hear you on the line this morning. And to God be the glory, you know, for what you have extracted from this word today. And trust me, I'm with you. We all want to grow, but nobody wants it to hurt. I get it. I'm with you right there. But I will say this, no pain, no gain, you know, no cross, no crown. And that principle applies there. So be encouraged and know that, you know, when you stay in this vein that you're in, because I caught your show. One day, I think it was last Thursday or something, and just trying to shed some light, you know, on relationships, this, that, and the other. You know, just stay in the vein that you're in. You know, God is blessing you. God is growing you in all kinds of areas. And he's doing that for all of us. You know, so thank you for your comments, and thank you for listening in on this morning. So God bless you. Are there any more comments, questions, or concerns? All right. Well, God bless you all. This morning, it has been it's been my honor to serve in the Victory Room today. If I'm always praying for everyone, you know, just in my prayers, and just love praying with you all and listening in on some other days when it can. And again, to midwife, Minister Dion, thank you again for the vision. For the Victory Room, and then more so, we appreciate you acting on it, actually allowing faith to come alive. So whatever else God has put on your heart, you know, I'll just encourage you to put action to it and watch God grow it, because he's definitely doing that work in your life. If there's no other comments from Sister Dion or anyone else, I will dismiss us in prayer. Again, my name is Pastor O'Neill Young, Jr. I do pastor the Greater Purpose Church. We meet in the city of Suisun at 601 Whispering Bay Lane every Sunday at 2 p.m. That's right, at 2 p.m. So, you know, God saying the same. Perhaps we'll see you at 2. And you'll come and worship with us and come and make God bigger. Because he is an awesome God. If all minds are clear, let me go ahead and
what was that address again, Pastor?
Go ahead.
What was I'm that sorry? Address?
Oh, the address is 601 Whispering Bay Lane, Suisun City, California.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. God bless you all today. Oh, yes, ma'am.
Hi, this is Sister Ruth. Hello. say a special prayer for us here in Sacramento and just the whole Butte County. But I took off today. I have asthma and I can barely breathe out here. I'm on my way to get an inhaler right now, but it's so thick. And it was so bad for me the other day. What I did is I just had I'm a call center agent. I put myself on mute, and I had to just pray right at my desk. Then it got worse, and I called my supervisor. He said, "You want me to call an ambulance?" I said, "No, don't, not right now." So he had my coworker watch me. But I'm telling you, it got so bad. I called my insurance agent. I said, "Look, I just want to make sure that I'm covered, you know, because I don't, you know, I'm having chest pains right now." And he said, "You all right?" But I'm telling you, I'm so grateful that I'm a believer, because I prayed and I sat there and I prayed, and you know, I got the, you know, I got the feeling better. But and then I got a call, got back on the call, and the lady, we were talking, and I was telling her, you know, I turned 52 on the 26th of this month, and she said, hey, I'm 52 too. And you know what she said? She said, I wasn't gonna do it. Oh Lord, don't let me cry. She said, I wasn't gonna do it. She said, but I gotta be obedient. She said, can I pray for you? Not knowing what I had just went through. Just out of San Diego. And she just began to pray for me. She began to pray for my family. But I said, you know, I said, you have no idea what I just went through. I was sitting here, I couldn't even breathe. She said, this is a divine connection. Now, it's about 20 of us. She could have got any other agent in the office. And, you know, I'm telling you, I'm just grateful from what I was saying. You know, I guess she just picked it up and she said, she asked me, was I a believer? We got to talking and we got to praying. We was on the phone for about 20 minutes. I said, ma'am, I got to go. I'm going to get in trouble. But just, you know, I'm telling you, God is amazing. For that lady, that she said, and she said it. She said, I got to be obedient. So I know, in the words of Charles Stanley, obedience is greater than sacrifice. And I'm grateful that God has changed my life. I'm glad that I'm grateful that for this call, especially my family has been blessed for this call, and I have been through some painful situations. I'm telling, yes, it hurts sometimes. It hurts so bad. I just said, ouch, God, this hurts. I said, Lord, I don't want to fight no more. Why I have to keep fighting? I don't want to fight no more. I mean, I've literally said, I don't want to fight no more. You know, different situations coming, but yes, growth hurts. But I don't respond to things like I used to no more. So I'm grateful for you this morning. I'm grateful for this call, and I'm grateful for that I'm a believer. I know I'm going to be all right, because as I sat at my desk and I was having trouble breathing, I wasn't thinking about myself. I was thinking about, I got to cook some gumbo for these people on Saturday. You know, and so I'm grateful, Lord, and I'm just praying for everybody in this surrounding area, because it's tough over here right now.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, sir.
God bless you, my sister. Can I get your name one more time? Did she catch me? I was trying to catch her
name. That was Ruth.
Ruth. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sister.
Welcome,
I will definitely. I just wanted to make sure I caught your name, and we'll definitely be lifting you up today, and you know, the Sacramento area and all the, you know, victims of the fire and so forth. We'll be praying for them as we close out the call today. Okay.
Pastor O'Neill.
Yes,
before
ma'am.
You close out. Hi, before you close out, real quick. This is Moni, and I just wanted to say thank you for your message today. Thank you for feeding us. I'm definitely leaving the call today to start my day, knowing and really understanding that, you know, when I do my own will, that truly does stunt my life. It stunts my growth, I mean. And, you know, when I do God's will, which he always ends up getting his will eventually anyway, you know, then, you know, cause that really should be our goal, is to try to find God's will, seek God's will, and do his will, because we take the long way when we do our own will. We take the long way, and then we realize later on, oh, I should have just sought God first, and, you know, I wouldn't have to waste all this time. And, you know, really being a follower of Christ, it's not a job. It's not not a J-O-B. It's a lifestyle, you know.
Right.
We should be doing it on a Thursday at 6 p.m., you know, not just on a Sunday. Not just on a Sunday. And because there's work to be done. And if we're limiting ourselves, then we're limiting God. And if we're limiting him to only Sunday, then we're not able to reach the world for him. And we're the only ones that can do. We're the ones who have to be his hands and feet. In any case, you know, I'm thankful for you being our guest, for feeding us today. And I just pray blessings be poured back into you for what you've poured out on us today. And I truly do hope that you come back again. And thank you again.
All right. God bless you, Sister Moni. I appreciate you. Let me just say, you know, right off the bat, let me give you a what they said. Let's just give you a compliment. I appreciate your professionalism in the ministry. I do. You know, my first call I got was from Sister Moni to schedule me and, you know, make sure I knew the ins and outs of the call and what I was supposed to do, do's and don'ts and so forth. And that was just done on a very professional basis always. And so you represent, you know, the ministry well, you know, in the administrative area. And so keep on going with that. It is needed. Trust me. God wants to be represented in the highest fashion, because he is a God of excellence. So thank you. And again, just thank you for your feedback today. And you are so right. When you said that, I could go on and on. It's like, boy, the way I did it, it's taken me the long route. You know, it's like I have made an 11-day journey, you know, it's a 40-year process. And whew, I understand. So thank God for you. Thank God for his grace, though, how he will make sure that we don't tarry too long in one spot, but that we will progress and move on. So the Lord bless you as well. All right.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor O'Neill.
Good morning.
My name is Miss D. Thank you so much for your clarity this morning and watering the seeds that have been planted in my life. I was just listening to my own self here as you've been talking this morning and looking at the changes and maturation in my life just in this past week, but it's as a result of over 1 year of some struggles, major struggles, mentally, emotionally, and physically, that, you know, just seeing the wavering times in my life when I was bedridden, and after the death of my husband, the emotional turmoil that I've experienced, to be sitting today knowing that in the past week I've missed three bullets, I'm going to call them, because the flesh wanted to do, and resisting the call of my flesh, and how Christ has rewarded me for standing still and thinking through before I act, and separating myself from some people and some things. But not only those, my thought processes, the desire that the thought can bring into the flesh. I'm just thankful for the water that you poured this morning, for the reflective time I've had, because I've seen some transitions in my life in these past few weeks.
Amen.
Because I'm not in a place that I was just last week. I'm not even going to go back any further than that, based
Praise
on
God.
My experiences. So thank you for being that water and the clarity in your message this morning, so rich. The points that you put out, the relevant question, which is relevant, that you left us with, that to look throughout the day as to where we stand in our walk with the Lord and in our maturation. God bless you and thank you and have a wonderful weekend.
Amen. God bless you, Miss D. I'm excited for you. Love to hear that growth in a week. You know, somebody say praise God. God is able. You know, God, and that's the thing about God. God grows us at his rate. Some of us, sometimes we have slow growth periods, but then there are times when God, listen, will accelerate your growth. Somebody, my God. And it's always a result of what you've been through. And then he brings it all together. And then we have, you know, major movement. So I'm just rejoicing for you and thanking God that you had, you know, you've experienced growth this week, and that, you know, others have come and God has allowed us just to put a little water on it so that your faith might be strengthened. And we're humble, you know, for doing that. But just listening to you, I would simply say it sounds like you're better. Sounds like you're wiser. Sounds like you're stronger. As a result of all that you've been through. So thank God for you. We'll be praying for you. And we are also celebrating that God just helped you miss some bad things, you know, and he allowed you to experience his greatness. So thank God for you, Miss Dean. We will be praying for you as well. Okay.
Good morning, Pastor O'Neill.
Good morning.
This is April, and
Good
I have
morning,
to speak because I'm over here shaking. I'm shaking. My heart is beating so fast.
And that's because the Lord has compelled me to speak. And this is truly out of my comfort zone. I've been over here lonely. He's moving me. He's touching my heart to seek him out even more every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him to help me remove the things out of my life that don't mean me any good.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing that. And in the process, I had the nerve, audacity to get upset. And he's speaking to my heart, telling me, it's not them, April, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm calling you. I'm seeking you out, God. I love you so much. And I've been in the wilderness so long just because of my disobedience. And I think that I can do it on my own. Or, you know, the struggle is, it gets so tough sometimes that I just give up and I go back to my old ways, which keeps mm-hmm. me stagnated. So I just thank God today that he's moved me out of some places. I thank God that he's speaking to my heart daily. I thank God that he is drawing me closer to him.
Mm-hmm.
I hate being a failure. Like, it makes me feel so bad. But the Lord told me to speak, because even though I've been so lonely, feeling like I don't have anybody, but he's mm-hmm. given me this call. And this morning he said, you have a family here. And I want
Absolutely.
You to speak. You have to learn to talk this thing out, because they're here for you. And I said, thank you this morning, because I feel like you watered my soil.
Mm-hmm. And God bless you.
I just ask everybody to pray my strength. I will not give up, even though I'm
mm-hmm.
in an uncomfortable place right now. But he's working on my heart. And today I feel better than I did yesterday and the day before that. It's getting a little bit easier. Sometimes I still feel weak, so I just ask that the call,
mm-hmm.
declare victory, just pray my strength that I'll keep moving forward, and I'll keep seeking him, and I'll keep praying.
All right. Well, listen, mm-hmm. bless you. Bless you, Sister April. Let me say a few things to you. First of all, we have points that we fail in life, but we're not failures. There's a difference. You know, many of us, all of us have missed it. Some of us have flunked tests, you know, that even maybe God has given. We failed in some kind of way. But we are not failures because of Jesus Christ. And so in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, you know, it says this. It says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Okay? And that is the declaration for you today. Yes, you're more than a conqueror. What you feel is real, but feelings will pass away. You know, and as as God is removing things from your life, number one, know the removal means that he's active in your life, that he's actually helping you to become more holy. And that's for all of us. God is, you know, when we surrender and you let him, God will begin to remove things and people, and I would be lying to you if I said you wouldn't feel it. But don't worry about a feeling, because your salvation is not based upon a feeling. Your salvation is based upon the work of Jesus Christ that has already been done and is secure. So know that you're just in the redemption process, and God is bringing you back, and God is touching your heart, changing your heart, letting you know that you have a consciousness of him. And the things that you used to do that didn't bother you, now God is more alive in your life, and God is working through you. So know, you know, that greater is coming. Know, you know, that you are more than a conqueror, and know that, you know, even though we do go through some things, we do suffer, but the present things, you know, we suffer our present, you know, in the present, but they're not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in your life. In other words, there's more glory. There's glory to come in your life. So I want you to stay prayerful. Definitely want you to stay in the victory room. You know, I know there's brothers and sisters on the line that's going to reach out to you. You reach out, they will reach back, and we will pray for you. And God is helping you. And trust me, you're more than a conqueror. So I want you to be blessed and keep your head up this morning, because Christ loves you, and so do we. All right. Is there anybody else out there this morning that's going to make a comment or say anything before I give the closing prayer? Okay. Because I don't want to cut you off if you need, if you got a need. Okay. So listen, God bless you. The Lord loves you, and so do I. We'll be praying for everyone, and we are believing for a blessed day, and we are thanking God for growth today. So, Father, we thank you today for your perfect work in our lives. Thank you that you take us through and you allow us to participate in the growth process. We thank you and we acknowledge that you are the master grower, Father, and that increase is at your word and at your disposal. So we thank you that this morning we just really take comfort and we get excited about and we are moving because we know that you want us to grow and that you will cause us to grow. But Father, I pray in Jesus' name now for every person that's on the line, God, that you will help us to determine that we are in the best place for growth. And so, Father, if you, when you lead us, if you move us, help us to move. If you decide, oh God, that we need to be transplanted and we need to move, Father, we will move so that the Son can be, we can be exposed more to your Son. And so, Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you. I pray now for the visionary of the Victory Room. We pray for our sister, and we pray, God, for her son. We are thanking you for the miracle that you have worked and are working. We are blessing you, God, for opportunities that are just continuing to open up for her. And so, God, continue to protect her. Continue, oh, God, to grant her peace and direction, and God, give her great humility as you have and are making her a great servant. God, I pray and lift everyone on this call, those who spoke, those who did not. In the name of Jesus, I declare today that you will be to them everything that they need you to be. And so, Father, today we ask that you would remember those victims who have been victims of the fire, those who have lost loved ones to tragedy, those who are in the bereavement process. We're asking for your grace, asking for your love, counting on you, oh God, to make the bad into the good. God, we love you. We pray for Sacramento. We pray for the air quality, God, throughout this whole region of the West Coast, that your wind would blow, that you would bring fresh air, oh God, through your spirit, because you are spirit. And so, God, we're just looking and expecting that miracle on today. God, we thank you. We remember this morning, Sister Ruth, as she has asked, oh God, for us to intercede on her behalf. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, supply her every need. Thank you for your hand. Thank you for sustaining her, giving her breath in her body, literal breath in her body. And then thank you for the breath of your spirit who's making her alive. And so, God, today, thank you for allowing your servant to call in at that designated time to minister to your servant. God, as a matter of fact, we just expect you to do things like that. When we are at our lowest, when we are in distress, we thank you that you're a God of deliverance. You are our salvation. And so deliver us when we need it the most. So we pray this morning, bless us in our day, bless the balance of our day, allow us to walk in victory. And again, Father, thank you for the opportunity. Keep your people, bless us, bless every church, bless every family, single person. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone said amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day,
everyone.
Have a blessed day.
That's it.
Thank you.